Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
All right. This episode is a Steve grab bag, so I'm going to pass it over to him.
So I've been super cautious with the whole COVID thing going on lately. So I have not been doing interesting beers. I've been supporting local and trying to stick to like cores. And this is my first foray into a beer store in 8 months. And I went a little buck wild and decided I want to try stuff.
I love it.
So there's no other theme. It's pretty random. So we're going to just start right in with Almanac Beering Company's barrel-aged strawberry basil supernova sour. It says tart, refreshing, real fruit. It's from Alameda, California. Comes in at 5.5% alcohol. And it says, this is not a kettle sour. This naturally conditioned mixed culture sour ale was aged for months with real fruit in oak barrels, creating a delightfully tart and refreshing brew.
Nice. I mean, kettle sours can be good, but a nice, like, proper sour is always way more flavorful.
They made from Admiral Maltings. You can look them up, I guess. They use real strawberries and basil. And they have a farm-to-barrel label on here. I don't know if that means anything to some people.
That probably means that all the ingredients came from local farms or whatever. Sort of that farm-to-table thing that people are trying to do these days where you're trying to get all your ingredients for your food or whatever from local farms.
Very much, and I always appreciate that. I just don't know if this is like an official designation or just like them advertising.
Yes, I'm sure. Oh, just pouring that beer, I can smell it.
So we are doing this in the dark, in the park, with an LED lantern. So it looks pretty hazy to me, but honestly, our visual descriptions are going to be a little off this episode.
Yeah, it's not murky, but it's definitely really, really hazy with a nice white head.
I will point out that if I remember right, looking, you've got the can over there, the canned on date was in July, so this is not as fresh as I think it should be, but it's probably still good.
It's a sour, though, so sours usually just keep getting more complex and everything as they age. It's not like an IPA.
Mm. Oh, I love the funk on that nose. Oh, that is so good.
Yeah, it's super funky. It's super fruity.
Yeah, like you can smell the strawberries and basil. There's like a hay funk going on there. There's some sour. Oh, this smells really good.
I'm only beer I've really had that had basil in it is Storm Brewing the Basil IPA. So I'm not used to having it in a beer.
Oh, I like this beer. I'm going back for more of this. Wow,
yeah, that's really interesting. The tartness, the strawberry, and then that little bit of basil spice in there. When you said what it was, I was like, really? That sounds weird, but this is gorgeous.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Like, it's got a sour strawberry thing going. The basil just adds that nice sort of menthol-y herbal note that weirdly goes with strawberries.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, if you've ever just, like, chopped basil onto strawberries, it's good.
Never have, and I never would have. Now I would.
Yeah. It's got a real nice sour to it. It's a very lemony sour.
Yep.
Or without being like in your face.
It's very, very citric acid-y,
mm-hmm.
but not super sour, but it's definitely citric acid that's going on.
Very much, but it plays well with all the other flavors instead of just dominating them.
Yeah, that is super, super cool, and I'm glad you found this. I've never seen this beer.
No, I got this at Bainbridge Liquor Store at Lougheed and Bainbridge. And like I said, this was me just kind of going, I haven't gotten weird beers in a while. Let's see what we got. And this caught my eye.
Yeah, this is super cool.
I'm so glad I picked this up.
One of the most unfortunate things in the beer scene, without sounding horrible, one of the most unfortunate things in beer that's come out of COVID is that a lot of the imports are gone.
Yeah.
And I love supporting local. I mostly support local, but it's also really fun to drink beers from elsewhere. And it's kind of neat to see how your scene is doing compared to others. So it's unfortunate because, yes, I want to mostly support local, but I want to see what other people are doing too.
Absolutely.
And I'm hoping that comes back when all this finally goes away, whatever year that is.
Oh, 2021, please.
Yeah, exactly. Man, no, this is really cool. Mm.
It's got also a really dry note.
Like, yeah.
I was noticing it under the sour, but it's dry, too.
Yeah, it's definitely on the drier, sour side than it is on the sweet side.
Yeah. Oh, man. I got to go. Damn it. Today was my last day in the Burnaby office. I'm not going back away for a while.
You'll have to just go back that way.
I think I'm going to have to.
Well, maybe, you know, if you're going out there, maybe you could go to Daggerhead Brewing and grab some beer there, because their beer sales are just, you walk in the door and you pay there. They've got a big plastic or plexiglass or whatever thing separating, so you can buy it there and go if you don't want to go in for a beer.
I gotta say, a lot of the locals have done a really good job of, we got the cooler and the cash right by the door now, and you can come in, grab your beer, and get out if that's what you want to do.
Or sometimes you can order it and then pick it up at the door or whatever.
Also an option.
Depending on which brewery and everything. Yeah, that's definitely a winner.
Wow. Like, I was expecting it to be interesting at the very least, but wow, that is good.
All right, what do we got next here, Steve? What weird, wacky, and wonderful beer?
All right, I must look like the personification of death because I'm holding a lantern trying to read the beer because it's light writing on a light background. So Mike's taking a picture because this has got to look pretty funny.
Yes, it does.
You got to show me that later.
Yeah.
All right. So we have from Cigar City Brewing in Tampa, Florida, and I don't support Florida in any way, but...
Oh, I support their beer scene.
I support brewers, so brewers tend to be cool. Oh, so from Cigar City Brewing in Tampa, Florida, we have their Florida Cracker Belgian-styled white ale brewed with coriander and orange peel. Sounds like a very traditional Belgian.
It does, yeah.
And... though it's named for the 18th century cracker cowboys of the Florida prairie, the citrusy notes and effervescent body of this Belgian-style white ale make it perfect for any lovers of fresh air and outdoor adventures. That certainly sounds like us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes in at... Wait, where is that? Oh, 5.5% and ABV and 15 IBUs.
I don't know if I've had this beer. I had a bunch of their beer while in Florida, and I brought a bunch home. The Hialeah is quite nice. And I'm trying to think here. They have a really, really good Russian Imperial Stout series that I really enjoyed. Unfortunately, when I was in Florida, we were there. Me and my wife were there for our honeymoon. And we didn't get to Tampa because the day we were supposed to be in Tampa was the day that Hurricane Irma hit Florida. So we had to fly out a couple days before. So I had this whole plan. We were going to rent a car, drive down to Tampa, go to the brewery, check it all out, and I never got to.
I was real worried about you on that trip.
I'm still a little bummed we left because it didn't hit Orlando all that badly. So if we had stayed, we would have had to stay at our hotel for 2 days because it was a mandatory two-day stay-at-home order. But I had a whole bunch of beer in our room, and then the airport didn't open for another 5 days, so we would have been stuck there. Darn. But Disney World and Universal Studios reopened as soon as those 2 days of quarantine were over, or whatever you call it. So it went lockdown. So it would have been great, actually. But who knows? It could have been horrible, too.
Yeah, you never know.
All right. This one, it looks definitely like that traditional, like, hazy, not murky, wheat beer look, white head, yellow.
It looks like a Belgian. Like, it looks like a Belgian blonde. It smells like a Belgian blonde.
Yeah, it definitely has that nice fruity character. A little bit of bubble gum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you can sweetness. Smell the esters. It's got that Belgian yeast character, yeah. Like that I've never been able to describe accurately.
That Florida Belgian.
That Florida That's Belgian.
Really weird, yes. Region of Belgium in Florida.
Yes. That's tasty. I feel like maybe we did it a bit of a disservice putting it after the strawberry basil, because it feels a little dull, and I'm not sure it really is.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Just after a strawberry basil sour.
The one thing that's weird here is that it's a Belgian-style wheat beer, but I'm almost getting some banana characters with the bubble gum, which is more of a German Hef thing, right?
Yeah, I am getting banana, which is a real turnoff for me.
Oh, okay.
I get that that's the style in Hefes and a lot of wheats, so like it's not a
knock. This should be kind of a wit, basically.
Just it's just not my thing. But
yeah, it's interesting. I actually like the flavor for what it is. It's a fairly basic wheat beer. It's not inoffensive. It's nice tasting. But as a Belgian beer, it should be citrus, and citrus and coriander and all that, and not banana.
Right. I feel like it's missing like the advertised selling points of coriander and orange.
Yeah.
And it's getting overtaken by the banana from the yeast.
But there is some orange in there, but it's not enough to get over the banana flavor in there.
Yeah, and I'm a little disappointed. There's a really nice malt character, a little very crackery malt.
Mm-hmm.
That I really enjoy, but I'm having a hard time getting past the banana and sort of the lack of other flavors.
It's banana and bubblegum for me, mostly.
Yeah, like, and as a Hefe, I would drink this and go, yeah, true to style, not for me, but...
So like me and yellow fizzy lagers,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. And just sort of pass it off as, okay, so that somebody else will like this, but it feels a little off given what they... That they
were
very upfront about orange and coriander. This is hilarious. Like we're sitting in camp chairs with a lantern, drinking beers in the park with microphones set up next to an old industrial retaining wall.
In an unnamed park.
Yes.
Or maybe not park.
That's definitely a park.
Shh. The people have left now. There was lots of people walking by earlier, so if they listen to the show, they'll know what this is about.
That'd be hilarious if a listener walked past.
Should have put a banner up, no. So while I can't say that I didn't enjoy it, because I did, it's just not at all what it advertised.
Yeah, honestly, not for me. Like, I even see kind of where it was going with, like, the estery yeast, the really Belgian ester orange and banana bubblegum thing.
Yeah.
Like that comes up a lot in a lot of Belgians. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, let's move on to the truly inappropriate.
I look forward to it. Steve, I'm going to get within 6 feet of you. That's truly inappropriate.
I just waved the lantern in front of my face. I can't see shit now. All right. We have the Against the Grain Brown Note American Brown Ale. And dear God, is that a disgusting can label. Yeah.
I'd like to say, too, it's so dark and it's not even 7 yet.
I know. It's ridiculous. Oh, dear God. The Phantom Wipe is credited as the artist. If any of you know the Brown Note myth, check out Mythbusters Brown Note episode if you're curious.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It's pretty funny. what I'm seeing on the can, and normally I don't go into the can right away, but I gotta, is a tattooed hairy body in nothing but tidy whities with skid marks.
Oh, he's literally like... He needs some Imodium badly.
So badly. And
it's explosive.
So like it's up front about the whole Brown Note thing. But I've got to say it's not very appetizing. They do say.
But it catches your fucking attention.
It certainly does. I mean, I bought it. So.
Yeah.
It says, Oh, the shame. This is the brown ale to end all brown ales. Enjoy it because there's no longer any reason to drink another brown ale. You've reached the pinnacle, the disco bump, the brown note. Drink this beer and or shit yourself trying. Uh-oh. they really went in on this.
Yeah.
5.8 ABV. That's about all it says.
What's the brewery name again?
This is Against the Grain.
Against the Grain, that's it. And I mean, you know what? I think it's brilliant, personally, because I really like brown ales and I never drink them. And I think that's the problem with a lot of people. They're such a great beer. They're great to cook with. There's just so much flavor, but we never grab them.
No, I absolutely adore a good brown ale. I always try and have a good brown ale available in my fridge.
So the fact that they've made this horrible label, you actually will reach for it and grab this brown ale.
So yeah, going forward, like I absolutely love brown ales. They are my favorite style for just having around. If it's what if I'm going to grab something because I just need a beer, or it's what I'm going to grab. Like, yeah, I literally cannot see this beer. It's gotten real dark. I'm going to hold it up to the lantern.
It's not like stout or porter dark. Like, it's not super, super brown. It's definitely got a brown color, but it's not opaque.
No, it comes in as a very nice dark honey amber.
Tan head.
Mm. Oh, it's got that nutty nose that I just love.
Nutty, like mildly roasty.
Yeah, a little bit of coffee in there.
Yeah, definitely some coffee, yeah. Earthy.
Yeah. Oh, that smells real good. It's warm without being spicy.
Yeah. And actually, that's a good pull because on the flavor, it's not hot spicy. But there's some spice on that flavor, actually, a little bit.
Right. Like, I can't tell if that's like alcohol warmth or if it feels a little like warming spice. Like,
yeah.
A little bit of not clove, maybe nutmeg.
I'm not sure. But it definitely like toffee and caramel.
Yeah.
Roasty, a little bit of coffee.
Right. Like, this feels like anybody who's into like a good English toffee, this is the best possible version of that. It is sweet without being sugary. It is warm without being spicy. That is a really good brown ale. Too bad about the can.
But it's the picture of the can having a problem at the can that got you to buy the can.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it worked.
And you know what? I think this has to force me to go back and buy some Nut Brown from, or Rail Ale Nut Brown from House Sound.
I was just going to say, I need to get me some Rail Ale from Nut Brown from House Sound. Because that's...
It's not only a really tasty brown ale from what I remember, it's so fucking good to cook with.
Yeah.
And they've no longer do the 1 liter bottles at House Sound. It's now cans.
I saw, but so. Braised ribs in their Rail Ale Nut Brown. Oh, that is good.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
Yeah, it's not anything crazy. It's just a really, really solid brown ale.
Yeah, it is well balanced. It's got a good level of complexity without just demanding too much of you for a nut brown. They are on point. And I definitely got to go back by Bainbridge because I want a few of these in my fridge. Like,
nice. This,
I should wrap them because I don't want to see them when I'm cooking. But, but they are really tasty.
Well, let's see here. Oh, yeah, you have to wrap it. They also do some really cool, crazy, funky beers and everything. They're an very experimental brewery. If you look at the label here, they also I'm trying to remember here. They have this series of larger format. They might even be 750 milliliter bombers, like the big ones, of some really crazy, wild, wacky beers. Mm-hmm. all of the non-offensive label.
I will give it. It's not offensive. It's just gross.
Yeah, it's kind of offensive too, but in a good way, because I also bought it when it came to BC just because of the goddamn label.
Yeah, that is real good. Like it's got enough interest that I'm not just sort of mindlessly sipping, but it's not demanding too much either. Like it's not one of those beers that you're kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, that was interesting, but how much am I going to drink it?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'd go back to this.
Yeah. I'm just happy you still found a can of it.
Yeah, they had a few still there.
Nice. Like I mentioned, was it this episode or last episode?
I don't know.
I can't remember anymore. Oh, no, it was this episode. It's just getting so hard to find imports now.
It is.
And the other thing that's real sad, too, is, you know, as our craft beer scene has gotten bigger and bigger, we're seeing less and less imports from Europe, too. And I really enjoyed some of the Icebox and stuff that you were finding coming over, especially the Belgian beers. Like, I'm not seeing many Belgian beers at all these days.
I miss the Icebox. Those are good.
I think I'm actually going to attempt to make an Icebox.
Oh, please. Yes.
Because as a home brewer, I'm a very, very newbie. But I don't like easy drinking beers. So double IPAs, barley wines, imperial stouts are what I've been brewing. So why not do an ice bock?
Yes, do it. Do it.
But yeah, this is great.
All right. Depending on battery life for our quarter, we'll see if this is the last one or not. I'm not even quite sure how to read this can. It's an interesting design.
Well, it's definitely a Collective Arts brewing beer. I saw that when you were showing the can earlier.
Yeah, it is Collective Arts. It's the Collective Arts Stranger Than Fiction Porter. There's honestly not a lot of info here. So hops are Cascade and Nugget. It's unfiltered. They suggest keeping it cold.
Which we did.
It's from Collective Arts Brewing, Hamilton, Ontario. Comes in at 5.5 ABV.
Go Ticats! I'm a BC Lions fan, but still, Hamilton.
this is worth pointing out. They credit the artist on the can as Dean McKeever. I hope I'm saying that right. East Longmeadow, Massachusetts, USA. See the full series at collectiveartsbrewing.com/series-11.
One of the things I love about Collective Arts is that they put out a call for artists every year, and not even that, like that beer might have two or three different labels. Like it'll change up. They support all kinds of cool artists. I think it's just like you get the, get your art on the can. It's not like you get paid, but it's still kind of cool because this person's in Massachusetts, you said?
Yeah, Massachusetts.
That beer probably doesn't even get to Massachusetts.
So the can itself, the everything I just read was in maybe a fifth of the whole wraparound. The rest of it is a very Halloween backlit orange forest scene that looks like just a creepy forest. And I going over it, I just noticed what looks like a Sasquatch in the background.
Oh, it's me.
Well, oh, no, sorry. No, you're over there. There's a Sasquatch on the can, too.
Nice.
But it is a beautifully rendered can. Like, the person who did this was Dean McKeever.
Yeah.
Again, beautifully done.
Like, yeah, it's
really
gorgeous.
Well done art.
I probably would have got that look a little bit during the, when we had the smoke from Oregon. When we had the forest fires from Oregon and Washington here, we had that kind of orange glow in the sky. So, you know, we might have got this look a little bit then. But yeah, it is really a gorgeous can. It's very subtle, very subdued, but gorgeous.
Ooh.
What style is this again?
This is a porter?
Okay, sorry. That makes sense. Because I'm looking at it going, that's dark.
Yeah, that's real dark. Real deep tan head, too.
Mm. Nice and roasty.
Yeah, nice and roasty. Like roasted biscuit, a little biscuit malt.
Maybe a hint of chocolate, but not much.
Yeah, not much. They're doubling down on like vaguely smoky, kind of roasty, like Very fireside.
Yeah, for sure. Ooh.
That's nice.
So much chocolate on the flavor.
Yeah, like good dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate, roasty, not much bitterness, but some earth.
Pleasant ash?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of forest fires.
Yeah, that's real nice. This would actually be either, weirdly enough, a very good summer beer or a real deep winter beer.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's dark beers and strong beers all year, but this is really good.
Yeah, that's real nice. Like,
I'm not surprised though.
Yeah, it's got a level of complexity that I like without being overwhelming.
Yeah,
it's got like that ashy note is really kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love the chocolate in it.
Yeah, on the aroma, I was not expecting that much chocolate.
No, me neither, but it's really there.
Yeah, that's really, really, really sure. Tasty.
Surprisingly light for a porter.
Like, yep.
Not light, but for a porter.
Although porters are lighter than stouts, usually.
True, yes.
Even though there's no real... Who knows really what a porter and a stout are, because people seem to swap it out.
I always get this backwards. All porters are stouts, but not all stouts are porters, or is it the other way around?
I don't know. I don't think anyone really knows what the true definition is of either.
Probably true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, I love that. I kind of want to wait till like we get some snow or something to really get into this, but it's nice.
Well, I think we're going to get into rain tomorrow.
Well, yeah. It's Vancouver.
Yes. I mean, from what they're saying right now, you know, obviously this is recording time, not whenever this launches. They're calling for 50 to 75 millimeters rain tomorrow, which is 2 to 3 inches of rain. It's going to be ugly, and I work outdoors.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm working from home tomorrow.
I'm okay with it, because at least it's not hot out. It's not sweat, it's rain.
Right.
Yeah, no, I really like this. This is a sleeper because the aroma was not this tasty, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I was a little worried that it was going to be a little boring on the nose, but that's real nice.
Yeah, it's such a good flavor. Damn. This has been probably your best grab bag episode you've done.
And it was a super quick pick, too. Like, I was in and out. So yeah. I'm super happy with this so far.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, why don't we dig into the last one?
What I was going to say, do you want to cut it there? Because we've got all these ones to finish still.
That's true, yeah.
And then one to share with Sarah.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
All right, then. Let's call it there. And, yeah, this has been Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Steve.
Yeah, well, if you want to find us on the internet, you can go to pacificbeerchat.com. If you want to email us, you can go to feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. If you want to book us at your brewery, you can go to Jordan@pacificbeerchat.com. Message him because he's the one who's setting up all our on-location, social-distanced episodes these days. If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. Shout out to our supporters, Steve across from me, and Indie Beer Show in San Diego. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.